flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Look, all I can do is be me. And that's who I am. It's what I do. And Grandy's in for Dibs. I did want to take, like, 1 minute to address this morning. And for those of you who didn't hear, Bonte Hill is I know that the station doesn't like it when we go, Bonte's leaving, because Bonte's sort of kind of staying.
You'll still hear his voice throughout the week.
Yep, he's still going to connect. He's still going to do an hour a week on Fridays. There'll be some simulcast stuff, what have you. But I'm glad that Bonte will actually start participating in sleep. So that's good for him and his family. But I also wanted to take a moment just to, and I know that if you're like a diehard of 95.7 The Game, you know who this is because if you're an early bird, he does or had been doing 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. and he's obviously a part of the roast as a third and fourth voice along with Lubman. He's a part of the whole group. So you may be familiar with Joe Spadoni. If you aren't, I really just want to like put that out there that I'm so, so happy for him. He is just a gem of a human being. And I think has just a wonderful opportunity to step into a very, very big role here at 95.7 The Game. So now, similar to how our names are both Mark, everybody's names on the roast is Joe. Like, that's all you just...
Joe and Joe.
It's just Joe. So if you call in, just be like, what's up, Joe? And you'll get it right. It doesn't even matter who you're talking about. But that starts on Monday. We love Joe Spadoni. I'm happy for him. And all of us invite you to check that out starting on Monday morning.
Yeah, well said. I mean, Spadoni's been putting in work for a very, very long time to get to this spot. Same thing for Bonte. And Bonte deserves everything coming his way as well.
Yep.
Full-time gig now with NBC Sports Bay Area. You'll see him doing some Niner stuff and some Giants stuff.
I would imagine so.
In addition to all the Warriors stuff.
Yeah, when you tell a company that you're full-time, they get to tell you to do a lot more stuff. Yeah.
So happy for both those guys.
Yep.
Sad to see Bonte gone on a day-to-day basis, but he wanted to spend more time with his family and his young daughter. He wanted to take his daughter to school. Like, barely ever been able to do that because he's here 6 to 10 every day.
Morning radio is not easy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when you get to work before the sun, there's just a whole thing that happens with your body. And yes, when you're a parent, it is doubly, triply challenging. to leave everybody else there to just be like, figure out the mornings. And by the way, when I get home, I'm going to be exhausted. Yeah. Like, it's tough.
So congrats, Bonte. Congrats, Bedoni. We'll Absolutely. Be listening and watching,
yep.
of course.
888-957-9570 is the number. Knockout tournament, Chase Center Court, March 3rd. You know the deal by now. We're giving away a spot every show, every day. We've done it all week. We do it next week. We do it the week after that as well. For your purposes today, the 15th spot in our knockout tournament is coming up in exactly 1 hour. We'll give you the key word just after 4 o'clock. Then you'll get directions on what to do and how to win. But the first step is to be here at 4 o'clock and get that key word. So that is coming up in just over an hour. Now, back to the issue in hand, 888-957-9570. To what level do you all believe that anything that could happen or not happen at the trade deadline means that there is still juice in this year's orange? And what I mean by that is people talk about, oh, get Steph help. But then I also hear a lot of people be like, dynasty's over. And maybe it's over. I've said this before. I don't really understand the whole it's over thing. Because, I get where you're coming from. But I don't know what that means. It just means that we're at the stage that we're at. Like, nothing ever ends. Warrior basketball just keeps going. And so, yes, you need to figure out in any given moment what's the right thing to do. I think there are very few of you out there that think that trading Steph Curry and just completely starting over from the beginning is the right thing to do. That's a very small group of Warrior fans. Outside of that, I guess the question is, do you actually think that there's anything, whatever it is you want to see the Warriors do, is there anything they could do by next Thursday that makes you think something significant can still be on the table this year? And I feel like you showed up today with a healthy bit of weeks behind you of probably not. and sounds like there's a, now you think maybe there is.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is going to make them a title favorite. Like, no single move, probably no two moves. And we're talking even like unrealistic moves. It seems unlikely, a title favorite. But I think there is a singular move that this team can make that can catapult them up to, at worst, like a top six seed in the Western Conference. Because, by the way, like, they're only four games out of the five seed, or five games out of the five seed.
I know there's
a bunch of teams you have to jump to get that done. But sitting in the five are the, in fact, sitting at the four are the Nuggets. The Warriors are four games behind the four seed right
correct.
Now.
Correct. Yes. And yeah. So they are 3.5 out of the five. They are 3 out of the six. They are 2.5 out of the seven.
Like, of course, there's a ton of teams to jump to get that done. But you have nearly half of a season to do it.
You could jump one of them tonight.
You could jump two of them tonight because you're tied with the Kings well.
But you automatically jump one of them tonight if you win this game.
Yes, because the Suns are only a half game ahead of you.
Correct.
So you would jump over them if you were to win. And I think it's difficult to look at this from a, well, the Warriors are a 500 basketball team. What does adding a 19 points per game scorer really do? Does it make them better? Yeah, sure. It makes them better. But, like, how is that singular player going to make that big of a difference? Like, I feel like a lot of people think of this in just a purely mathematical way, Willard. It's okay, that's a good player, and I'd rather have a good player than not have a good player, but it's not like Cam Johnson is the difference in the Warriors being a 500 team and being a 50-plus win basketball team. And mathematically, yeah, you're probably right. But basketball isn't just about math. This is about fit, and this is about trying to create a group that flows and that works together. And I really think if you were to look at a lineup that features Steph Curry and Cam Johnson and Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green as like a closing group of five.
That's a good lineup.
That is a really good five.
That's a hard lineup to guard.
And it has incredible good defensive versatility too with Draymond and with Wiggins and with Cam Johnson.
Got to keep it healthy.
You got to, no
keep
doubt.
It healthy. And two and a half of those players are hurt right now.
You acquire Cam Johnson at the trade deadline, who is nursing an ankle sprain himself, but he's day to day and should be returning soon. You still have to wait wait for Kuminga to come back. Draymond should be back by the time the trade deadline comes around. He's day-to-day at this point. Probably not going to play Monday, but maybe we see him Wednesday when the Warriors are in Utah. That is a really, really good five. And honestly, you get that group of five in a postseason series where you can kind of, you know, play Steph more than normal, play Draymond more than normal, and maximize minutes for Draymond at the five when you've always been your best. I know it sounds crazy, and this maybe feels like a major turn for me. That's because it is. I don't know. Something clicked in me, and I just feel like Cam Johnson is a player that unlocks so much else. There's been so much like positional overlap on this team. You can't play Kuminga next to Draymond because Kuminga only works at the four, and you don't want to play Draymond at the five. Like, Kuminga could work at the three if you have Cam Johnson at the two, and you could have Wiggins taking some time off at, like, there's just so much that having a really elite shooter at the two or anywhere on the floor, which is why Vucevic was always intriguing, because that does the same thing from the five position. But Cam Johnson isn't going to cost that much. He's under contract for 2.5 more years. He's relatively cheap. And he is, like, the dream fit alongside Steph Curry.
I just think here's the exercise that everybody can do. There's all these names getting thrown around, right? So here's the exercise to do. You could get Jimmy Butler. Fill in the blank for me. You can get Jimmy Butler, but the downside is...
it costs you Wiggins, and it costs a lot of money, and he might not be here next year.
Okay. You could get Zion Williamson, but the downside is...
You don't know if he's going to play a lot of basketball games for you, and he costs a lot of money.
All right, you could get Zach LaVine, but the downside is...
he makes a ton of money.
Okay, you could get Nikola Vucevic, but the downside is...
he's pretty old and okay player.
Terrible defensively. Watch this. You can get Cam Johnson, but the downside is... exactly. Nothing. He does not make a lot of money. He is in his 20s. He is signed for two more years, and you can fit that money in too because it doesn't even escalate. He is a good defensive player. He is a good offensive player. You just heard the voice of the Suns, where he used to play, say he is an absolute gem of a human being and locker room guy and underrated athleticism, and you lose none of your core. What are we talking about, Jimmy Butler and Zach LaVine? Why? What are we talking about? That's the guy. That's the guy.
I've got a serious, like, crush on Cam Johnson,
that's the
basketball player.
That's the guy. The Warriors host KD and the Suns tonight. Means Warriors Live with, Mark Grandy.
Double duty today.
You're working a little extra today. All right. Starts at 6 o'clock. So we'll take you up to 6, and then he'll just keep on going, and I'll leave. And it's presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Okay. Few things to get to. Knockout keyword 45 minutes away. Your phone calls right now. 888-957-9570. Do you still believe there's juice in the orange for the Warriors this year? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls now. Grandy is in for Dibs. This is Willard and Dibs.
Brendan Watford over to Cam Johnson. Wide open. Three ball. It's a one-point game.
You can't let him catch, get his feet set, and fire.
It's almost like they fall asleep.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, he does more than that. That's what he's best at.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That's a good pull, Lucas.
Fire me up, Tim and Tom.
There it is. That's Tim Roy getting annoyed with the Warriors for leaving Cam Johnson open.
They just fall asleep.
Maybe they're trying to woo him.
Okay.
They want him to get comfortable at the Chase Center floor. They're like, dude, put it in. And then Tommy's like, dude, that's what he does. Then he goes, but he does other stuff, too.
That's what he does best.
That's what he does best.
And the last time I checked, three-point shooting in today's NBA, maybe the most important characteristic of any basketball team.
Count me in. So we're going to play some Chris Mannix sound for you in just a second that both addresses Cam Johnson and also all the Bulls stuff that you hear with the Golden State Warriors. Right before Grandy and I just jumped back on, I was listening to the latest from Brian Windhorst. who did a little hit on ESPN to cover four different players: De'Aaron Fox, Jimmy Butler, Zach LaVine, and Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
Here's sort of the summary of each. Talking about De'Aaron Fox, he's like, obviously the Spurs are the team to watch. Who's their young player? Stephon Castle?
Stephon Castle, fourth overall pick from UConn.
Okay, yep. And is he the one who's in the dunk contest?
Yes.
Okay, and, right. Like, quick aside, my God.
He's the best player, NBA player in the dunk contest, and he's a rookie.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
And then you've got Mac McClung, who's won it 2 years in a row, but is not even in the NBA.
I'm convinced the NBA keeps him on ice and then revives him every February.
And then you've got two players who, I'm just going to be real, I've never heard of in my life.
Yeah, who are the other
two? That's the dunk contest that's coming. Like, I heard the roast this morning talking about, like, hey, when you cruise around the city, can you feel it yet that the All-Star game is coming? Can you feel it? And I was, like, listening, and I'm like, I looked right at my radio, and I'm like, no. No, and I'd argue, I don't know if you're outside of Thrive City if you ever really will. Like, we'll see what the NBA does about that to really sort of market this game. It's not the fault of the league, though, not the fault of the city. If you ask me, like, and I'm not trying to throw water on the All-Star game coming here, but last year's experience with the All-Star game was so embarrassing as a product that, like, they've got, and they're doing something different. My advice to the NBA would be right now, start a full court press on explaining to people what this All-Star game is this year, because it's different, and I don't think 99% of NBA fans get it or even know what's happening.
Yeah, and we are involved in the media of it, and I mean, I know it's a four-team tournament, and one of the teams is like the Rising Stars team, and you play each other, and then the winners of those two semifinals play each other in the final. We don't even know all the details. But the others in the dunk contest, Mac McClung, as you mentioned, who's won the last two, Stephon Castle, fourth overall pick of the Spurs, very good player, Matas Buzelis, first-round pick of the Bulls, and then Andre Jackson Jr., second-round pick 2 years ago, last year. He's in the second year now, from Milwaukee. That's the four. McClung, Castle, Buzelis, and Jackson Jr.
I just don't understand why the league can't do this differently. What, like, there has to be a way to incentivize players to do this. And just thinking, I'm sorry that we're on a tangent here, but I want to do this for a sec. After watching what he did two nights ago, why is GP2 not in this dunk contest that's here in the Bay Area? Why? And he has been asked. I actually was watching old videos of him being asked about the dunk contest 3 years ago. He had a huge dunk, and they started talking. There was a whole press conference one night at Chase about GP2 and dunking.
I remember that.
Okay? And he sat there, and he was like, first of all, because the sort of the tone was like, dude, we didn't know you had bounce like that. And he's like, you should see some of the G League video. Like, this is, it is like that. But then they said, would you ever want to do a dunk contest? And he's like, no, I don't have, like, he called himself an in-game dunker.
Yeah.
And said,
you got to catch a body to make it look good.
Well, he's like, I don't have the tricks like some of the younger guys do. All right, fine. But I still bet you could convince him. And we all damn well know how. How hard is this, NBA? Hey, Gary, here's $2 million. Go be in the dunk contest. He suddenly won't be an in-game dunker anymore. I promise. I promise. And that is water off a duck's back for you, as opposed to, I'm sorry, what did you just say is in this contest? Who?
Yeah, a bunch of nobodies.
What?
A couple of high draft picks in the last draft, and then a couple of nobodies.
It's clear you can only get guys to do it when they're brand new into the league. And I get that. We've been going after this for a long time, but I don't understand it. I don't get why this is so hard. If you can get guys to suddenly care about the in-season tournament, they will go to Las Vegas and play an extra game for $500,000. You can't get Gary to come down to his home arena on a Saturday night? I don't care how he does.
Do you know what the prize money is for the dunk contest champ now?
No clue.
$100,000.
Dude.
Mac McClung needs that.
So, right. But, like, who cares? give them an appearance fee. I would watch if GP2's in it. As it stands now, I won't. I'm not watching that. Like, no chance.
Second place gets $50,000. Third and fourth get $20,000 apiece.
Give Gary $1 million. He will find time on his Saturday.
Probably.
Or whatever date. Is that the day they do it, Friday or Saturday?
All-Star Saturday night Saturday. Is the dunk and the three-point.
Yeah. You get him off the couch. $1 million. Here you go. Like, why is that? I don't get it. I don't understand. Don't you want people to be... Like, I would think by now the NBA would love it.
I wonder if
on Monday, after All-Star Weekend, every sports radio station in America wasn't launching into, how do we fix the All-Star game? Mm. And then one of the hosts goes, I got an idea. Let's just stop doing it entirely. How about if you change the narrative a little bit?
I wonder if Kuminga was going to be in it if he didn't get hurt.
That would have been a great idea,
too. It would
too.
Have been a whole lot better than this, no doubt.
Great, great. Like, hello. How hard is it to have one of the home players, whoever your leaper is, they're in the dunk contest every year in the All-Star game?
We got to know the three-point contest field by now, right?
I would hope. Things coming up in 2 weeks. No, we don't.
I don't remember hearing about that. We know almost everything else, don't we?
Well, and you can get guys to do that because it takes no practice and no physicality. So you can get guys to do that.
I don't think we know yet, no. All we do know is that Caitlin Clark declined participating in some special contest.
She wants
her first three-point experience to be in the WNBA, which makes sense. That's all I know about NBA three-point contest.
I bet you could have convinced her. I bet there's a way. I don't know. What do you think? You think there's a way we could have convinced her?
A little bit more money?
I mean,
No, we don't. We don't yet know the three-point contest participant.
I hope Steph is doing it.
It's home building. He should.
He should.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Maybe Cam Johnson will be in it.
Ooh. Now, that'd be amazing.
He's shooting 42% from deep.
And he might be a Warrior by then. If we get our way.
Can I just read you some statistics?
Yes, and then I'll go back to finishing what Windhorse said.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cam Johnson this year, averaging 19 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He's shooting 49% from the field and 42% from downtown. This is his age 28 season. Let's go to the age 28 season of one Klay Thompson. Okay. Klay Thompson, age 28, it was the 2018-2019 year. That was when Kevin Durant was in town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like basketball heaven. Klay has never been more open in his entire life than the 2018-2019 season. He averaged 21.5 points per game, again to Cam Johnson's 19.5. He averaged under 4 rebounds, Cam's grabbing more than 4 per game. He averaged 2.5 assists, Cam is dishing out about 3 per game. Klay shot 46% from the field, Cam shooting 49%. Klay shot 40% from deep, Cam shooting 42%. Mm-hmm. This is Cam Johnson on one of the worst teams in the NBA. That is Klay Thompson on maybe the best team in NBA history.
Ever.
With Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and himself, Klay Thompson. This is not me saying Cam Johnson is Klay Thompson.
I was just going to say, so what are you saying, Grandy?
Klay and Cam are very similar basketball players. Cam is kind of Klay Thompson light. He's not the streaky shooter that Klay is, of course. No one is. And he's not the elite perimeter defender that Klay was. Klay was legitimately the best two-way two-guard in the NBA. Offense and defense, at his peak, he was that. Cam is not that. Cam's better, though, with the ball in his hands off the dribble and getting to the rim and finishing. Cam Johnson, and for Warrior fans that are trying to make sense of why I'm so in love with the idea of Cam Johnson on this Warrior team, because Klay was the dream fit. And Cam is a lot like Klay. Again, I'm not saying he's as good as Klay, and of course he never will be. But Cam is very much similar to how Klay Thompson played basketball, and we know how that worked. They were the best shooting duo in league history. Cam is very, very similar, and I would imagine if they were to acquire him, he would fit like a glove.
I just don't, like, the whole thing to me is a head-scratcher. I don't know why we don't hear about it more. And a piece of it I understand. I know everybody just wants to yell about the stars. And Cam is somewhere below the level of stars. But Chris Mannix, Ryan Russillo podcast via The Ringer, just said this about Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson, I would guess, will ultimately get moved. I think the asking price is pretty high right now. Multiple first-round picks from what I've heard for Cam Johnson. Does that come down when the Nets, who have just no interest in being remotely good right now before February 6th? Maybe.
I mean, would we be hearing more about this if we changed his name to Klay Thompson Light? Would we? He averages more points per game than Jimmy Butler does.
This year, yeah.
He averages more points per game than Jimmy Butler does.
He's having a career year.
Okay. There's another Chris Mannix thing to play you, but let's put it aside for a sec. So Wendy, of course, goes through the stars. And again, here's essentially what he said. Yes, the De'Aaron Fox thing is centered on the Spurs, and Stephon Castle would have to be kind of a key to the whole thing. Sacramento wants him. The Spurs love him. So that's probably what they're butting heads about. We'll see. But I hear a lot of people think that De'Aaron Fox is going to get moved before Thursday. That's one. The Jimmy Butler thing, I think we largely know where it sits, but there's one interesting nugget. He said, look, the Suns want him the most, and that's where Butler wants to go. But yes, this is all hung up on Bradley Beal. Bradley's no trade clause. Their family is being firm about that, and they want to go where they want to go, and those people don't want him, and so that's kind of a non-starter. At the very end, Wendy goes, if they can't figure it out, watch out for the Warriors there.
You mean if the Suns can't figure out Jimmy Butler?
Then watch out the Warriors for Jimmy Butler. I've already stated it. I'm out. I think horrible idea. Don't do it. But my hope is that the Warriors are being used kind of as a threat to the Suns, like get this done, or Bradley Beal, get this done, or else he'll end up with the Warriors. Zach LaVine, he does throw out that there are a lot of teams that are at least slightly warming to the idea of LaVine. We know that that's been reported a lot for the Warriors, but at the same time, more on that in a second. And then Brandon Ingram, who he links to maybe the Atlanta Hawks, who just lost for the season one of their leading scorers, and I think Brandon Ingram... every day on this show, we get people who are like, Brandon Ingram, I've just been told so many times that it's a non-starter for the Warriors. Steve Kerr and Brandon Ingram did not gel very well when they were together with Team USA. I just don't think the Warriors have any interest in Brandon Ingram. But I want you to listen to this from Chris Mannix. Again, Ryan Russillo podcast via The Ringer. Listen to what he says about these two Bulls targets that we keep hearing so much about.
Look, Zach LaVine's a big name, but I don't know if we should be paying attention. Honestly, I don't get the sense that there's a market for Zach LaVine right now. He's having a great year, but that contract and the injury history has red flagged him to a lot of teams out there. So, you know, he's someone that we're going to be talking about because we don't know what the Bulls are going to do, but I don't get the sense that there is a bidding war right now for Zach LaVine. Same thing with Vucevic in Chicago. Would a team like the Warriors, the Lakers, or somebody like that like to get a hold of him? Yeah, but he's got a big contract. It's probably going to be an asking price, a steep asking price back in return.
Okay, I'm going to put my chip in that bucket right there. I could be wrong. I do not have any inside info, but all of this talk, and as recently as yesterday, someone on the street came up to me and goes, what do you think the Warriors are going to do? I go, the best I can tell you is that it looks like there might be a match for some sort of a conversation between the Warriors and the Bulls, because that's what we're hearing everywhere. But the more that I've kind of listened and thought and talked about it with others over the last 24 hours, I think I'm ready to change my tune. And one of the reasons I want to change my tune is not just because Chris said that. We're flat out hearing too much about it. It's too telegraphed. Why would the Warriors do this? This is not how the Warriors operate. They don't operate this way. They're not out there being like, hey, call Kawakami and let him know that we're about to get LaVine and we're warming to him and all this stuff. I trust completely when Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson started to put those names out there. I do think that they're having conversations with the Bulls, but it's just too loud. When it's that loud, somebody's trying to leverage somebody. And it means that the conversation, for whatever reason, isn't going great. Because if it was, it would have happened already. So that is a long way of saying my hope is that what you're talking about is what's actually going on. I am digging the fact that no one's talking about Cam Johnson because, my God, he's obviously the crown jewel of this entire thing. When you talk about points per game, age, and contract, why is everyone screaming about these other players?
Not even just points per game, like just three-point field goal percentage.
Why do you want LaVine and Butler if you can have Cam? He scores
for like half the money.
Just as many points per game as Butler. He's younger. He's half the money. He's not a locker room problem. You get him for two more years. The contract doesn't escalate. I don't get it. That is the dude. That's the dude to circle.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Jimmy Butler, for example, I am hesitant to pull the trigger on a Jimmy Butler trade because it 100% will cost you Andrew Wiggins. And I think, you know, even if it was just Butler for Wiggins, and of course it would be more than that, but let's just say it was for the sake of making an easy argument, I think the Warriors would be better. But it's an improvement, no doubt, but it's not a gigantic improvement. They're still not great shooting-wise, and you lose a defender in Andrew Wiggins. Jimmy Butler is a defender as well, but you lose a defender in Wiggins, and you lose a guy who you want to be your three or your fourth best scorer. You add your second best scorer, but then you still have a big gaping hole at your third best scorer. Okay, so that's part of it there. And the other half of it for Jimmy Butler is you don't know about the future of Jimmy Butler. Is he going to be here for 3 months? Is he going to be here for just a year and a half?
I don't know about this weekend, yeah, with Jimmy Butler. He goes sideways at any moment.
So that's part of it.
Yep.
For Zach LaVine, it is the same thing. To get him, and I'm with you, I don't read into at all these nobodies who pay for a check mark on Twitter and tweet out what they call news and tips and with sources, and they say all these crazy things. If the Warriors are acquiring Zach LaVine, they will be trading away Andrew Wiggins. 100%. You can book it. It's the only way that's going to happen. That's probably an improved Warrior team too, but I think it's marginal. I don't think it makes them a whole lot better. Because again, you're acquiring a number two, but you're getting rid of the guy currently serving as your number two. Thereby, you have a big hole at number three. You don't have a third scorer anymore. Cam Johnson fills all the holes because he's, again, cheap, which means you don't have to give away your number three guy, Andrew Wiggins, and you have him under team control for 2.5 years. LaVine and Cam Johnson, somewhat similar in terms of stylistic fit because they can both score from the outside. LaVine, though, not a good perimeter defender. Cam Johnson absolutely is. And again, you can get him for so much less. The framework of a deal would probably be first-round pick, maybe two first-round picks, Looney, GP2. You could throw in someone like Kyle Anderson, and you could get the deal done, or maybe there's a third team, fourth team, and the pieces get jumbled around. You could make it work without giving up Kuminga and without giving up Wiggins. You get a legit number two scorer in here who makes so many of your other lineup constructions work. For me, it's a no-brainer.
If Brooklyn is actually getting rid of this guy, I'd be obsessed if I were the Warriors. Absolutely and totally and completely obsessed.
And I've fielded a couple of questions on both our YouTube chat and on the text line. Yeah. And you can join the conversation 888-957-9570. Why would Brooklyn? We're singing this dude's praises. I mean, I'm comparing him to Klay Thompson, for goodness sake. Why are the Nets interested in getting rid of this dude? Well,
it's a fair question. I know what your answer is, but
it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't. There's also the answer of I don't know. I don't know why they want to get rid of him. He's cheap. He's in his 20s, and he's awesome.
The Nets are more interested in losing basketball games right now than winning.
That's part of it.
That's why they traded away Dennis Schroeder for a net of 2 second-round picks. They acquired the money to make the Dennis Schroeder deal work is D'Anthony Melton, who's out for the year. So they're not interested in being good this year. So that's one reason to be interested in trading him away. And two, they want to clear their books as much as they possibly can.
Yep. And they want more picks.
And if Cam Johnson was 24, it might be a different story because that's a guy you can build around for years in the future. Cam Johnson, 29, he's still in his prime, but he is approaching the tail end of his career. He's about halfway through his career.
I'd love to dip my toe into this water. But first of all, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. About 20 minutes away from giving you the knockout tournament keyword for the day. But 888-957-9570. I think when you mention this idea, Looney is in the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's dive into that a little bit.
Okay.
Warrior fans, two things. A, I would love to know from an emotional standpoint, are you prepared to trade Kevon Looney? That's number one. But number two, in honor of Kevon, especially if he does end up leaving here, if he's about to play his last few games as a Warrior.
With a nasal fracture tonight.
Right, with a mask on.
Yeah.
In honor of Kevon, because I'd argue he is one of, at least in recent memory, the Bay Area's favorite sports figures who doesn't put up stats. Who is your all-time favorite Bay Area athlete who's never really done anything statistically special? Who is that person? Your favorite Bay Area athlete who's really never done anything with stats. Not a numbers person. Just something else. I've got one who... I'll just say I've got one. I'm not going to tease it any further, but we'll take your calls on all of that in honor of Kevon Looney. Grandy's in for Dibs. It's Willard and Dibs.
At David's Bridal, love is in every stitch. From the initial sketch to the final details, each style is designed with exquisite craftsmanship. Every wedding gown, bridesmaid look, prom dress, and special occasion style in between features handcrafted details filled with love. Come see the magic in person. Book an appointment and sign up for Diamond Loyalty to save 15% on your first purchase. Earn points towards special rewards and more at davidsbridal.com.
That chant, we have not heard it too much this year here at Chase. That Warriors chant echoing through Chase Center. Schroeder with the ball at the logo. Guarded by Gilgeous Alexander. Goes by him. Hand off Payton. Goes up.
Oh! He dunked it on Hartenstein! Little elevation sensation for GP2. And the Warriors lead 114 to 105.
Hey, Dub Nation. It's GP2 here. Willard and Dibs is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Yeah, it is. And we're interacting right now. And some good ideas coming through. Some fun names in honor of Kevon Looney. And if you're just joining us, I don't want to make it sound like he got traded because Kevon Looney might be a Warrior for the rest of the year. I don't know. But he does feel like a valuable chip right now if the Warriors are going to make a move, because it's about, what, $8 or $9 million?
I can get it up for
I
you
think
here,
this year. So. I think it's about $8 something million for Kevon Looney this year, and it's expiring, and he's obviously great in the locker room, and he doesn't hurt you on the court. Good defensive player. Like, he's, you know, lunch pail guy. And so that can fit anywhere, and any team would love to have Kevon come be a part of their team and then have the money come off of the books at the end of the year.
$8 million flat.
$8 million flat. There you go. So I do think there's a very healthy chance that Looney goes by Thursday. And so, A, are you ready emotionally for Loondog to be traded? But B, in honor of that, who's your favorite Bay Area athlete ever who just never really put up stats? So I have a name for you.
Okay.
We got some calls on this. I have a name for you. And I'm freely going to admit right now that this is before your time. What year were you born?
I was born in 1996.
Perfect. He retired 3 years before
that. Oh, okay.
Retired before you were born. But this chant used to ring throughout the aisles of Candlestick Park.
Okay.
And as a kid, I don't know if I really knew why. He is a career 241 hitter. And on the Giants for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years in a 10-year career.
Wow.
Almost a career Giant. In fact, he has a sum total of 66 plate appearances at the end of his career with the Houston Astros. Okay? But outside of that, a career Giant. And his name was creatively, with two different sets of people, chanted every single time he came to the plate. 19 career home runs in 10 years. In 10 years, he had a total WAR of 8.7.
Hell of a player.
but we loved him. We chanted his name. If you've been a Giants fan for a minute, do you know who I'm talking about yet? Steven, do you have a guess? You got a guess?
He's even younger than me.
I know, but he's like locked in on the Giants. You got anything?
It's not Johnny LeMaster,
is it? It's not Johnny LeMaster, but it is the same position on the field. Once upon a time throughout the 1980s, if you went to Candlestick Park and watched Giants baseball, the crowd would sort of split into two different things, sort of like the same way they did at Niner games, where they'd have one side of the stadium go, go!
Niners!
The other side would go, Niners!
Yeah.
Well, we did that for the Giants shortstop in the 80s. His name was Jose Uribe.
Ah.
And the whole crowd would go, ooh!
Uribe!
Uribe! Ooh!
Uribe!
And you do that, and then you'd go home, and you're like, why are we doing that? He gets, like, maybe two hits a week. I don't know why we're doing it. But I used to imitate even the way he would throw the ball. When I was warming up playing baseball with friends, he had a very unique way of like his release from shortstop. I think he tragically passed away, I think, in a car accident back in 06. He is no longer with us. He is a career 613 OPS.
Wow.
Like, that's what I'm getting at. He was just a guy.
Well, I got to experience...
the whole crowd would chant his name.
I got to experience the Uribe chance in 2010 when it was for Juan Uribe.
Juan Uribe.
Yeah, he had big postseason moments. I don't know if that would qualify in this list because he had some real big moments.
I'm trying to remember if they were related in some sort of a way.
He also was only a Giant for a year or two, Uribe was.
Yeah, but he had he had that.
The home run against the Phillies in the NLCS.
And the home run
in game one of the
World Series against the Rangers.
Yeah.
It's his nephew.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, that's Jose Uribe's uncle.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Jose Uribe is Juan Uribe's uncle.
That's a good one.
And, they're from the Dominican, and we used to chant that name, and that's actually probably why we chanted Juan's name when he joined the Giants for 2 seconds.
Ooh!
And had some huge swings of the stick, man!
There's very, very clearly a correlation between names that have the ooh sound. Because
sure.
It's easy to just go,
yes,
Loon.
Like, it's possible.
Uribe.
It's possible Juice. That the whole key to being one of these guys, like how to be a fan favorite without putting up stats, just have an ooh in your last name.
Yeah, exactly.
That helps.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, they're not saying boo.
They're saying ooh.
They're saying ooh. Uribe. Let's go to Anthony and Hayward. Anthony, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. So, being on hold, I came up with one more name. So, my top three is Stephen Vogt, Mark Ellis, Eric Burns. You see a pattern here.
Sure.
But my honorary guy is Bip Roberts. He played 61 games for the A's in 98. So, Bip Roberts.
Yep. I remember Bip mainly as a Padre. I remember Bip Roberts. See, the other reason is, I mean, not only is that kind of going back to heyday for me, but like, I know maybe this was like, did you ever collect baseball cards?
Yeah.
Or were they not cool anymore?
No, I have a ton of baseball cards in my childhood closet.
I mean, in the 80s, it was literally what we all did to the point where we ruined the marketplace because it's so overflooded. Everybody's got every card 8 times. We all have the same stuff. And that's when Bip started playing. So, like, I've got a bunch of... Actually, I've probably tossed the Bip Roberts cards because...
Wow.
Well, they're regulars. They're commons, as they call them. I went through them one time. My mom, bless her, did what many moms did not do. She kept them. She did not toss those suckers. They were in the garage. And then finally, when I, like, grew up and got out of college and moved out and had a place of my own, she's like, Mark... Hey, come get your baseball cards. And so I went and got them, and I sat down over a weekend, and I went through every last one and made 2 piles. Keep them, toss them. Keep them, toss them. And I bet Bip Roberts He probably got tossed.
That day's probably coming for me sometime soon. I imagine I'm going to get a call from my mom one random day. It's like, hey, we're cleaning out your bedroom closet.
Does she still have them?
Oh, yeah. They're still in my childhood bedroom closet.
Thank your parents for
away.
That. Thank your parents for that.
But they are in the they're in the time of their life where they're trying to, you know, clean up all the clutter, like in the garage and in the house. So I imagine I'm probably going to get a call at some point and say, we got a bunch of your stuff from when you were a kid. Let's go through it all and we get rid of it.
When are you turning 30?
Not this year, but next year.
In 2026?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's time.
It's time.
Go get your stuff, dude.
I'm living in a small apartment in the city. I don't got space.
I get it. I get it. I totally understand. But go get your stuff, dude. You're almost 30 years old. go to Austin and Napa. Austin, what's up?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, do you rebate call? It was such an awesome call. I could not imagine a better name to call. Ooh, rebate.
I mean,
call on that one,
you remember that chant? Come on, Austin. Like that, I lost my voice doing that thing.
Ooh, rebate.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to tack onto that. The only thing I'm going to tack onto that is two different calls on that. Grab a Ishikawa, and then our bullpen with our bullpen when we had. You know, Lopez, Romo, Anfield, and I'm missing one more. And the only other one I got to add on to that is, and you guys are going to be able to help me out better with this. You're smarter at sports than I am. But Justin Smith, when he was helping, you know, block, pick up on a bunch of offensive linemen and allowing, you know, Patrick Willis and our guy that got busted, you know, for doing some nefarious things.
Alden Smith.
Good call. But anyway, I'll let you guys comment on that. But it's a really good question. Good call, guys.
Austin, thanks. Appreciate it. I mean, some of these guys, like, I mean, from the relievers, I thought of that, too, when I was sitting there. I thought of that, but I almost feel like Sergio Romo doesn't count because, like, dude, he was a closer. Like, he won a World Series as a closer. And to me, that's, like, that's stats.
Yeah.
Javi Lopez, that counts. Justin Smith was also, like, I know he was... You know,
he was a great player.
Yes, he was a great player. I mean, sometimes you're just in a position where you can't rack up huge numbers, but he was legitimately a great player on the defensive line.
Can I give you one that comes to mind for me immediately? And I see this one on the text line, 888-957-9570. This comes to mind first for me. Mo Buckets. Maurice Spates.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's an easy one, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was era where the Warriors, oh, my God, we're good again. Like, this is fun. And you got this guy who's big and tall but just would shoot jumpers. And when he caught fire, rarely would you hear Oracle louder than after, like, consecutive Maurice Buckets jumper.
They
Maurice
love it.
Spates Buckets.
Well, and a lot of times it does have to do with nicknames. Like, you were just talking about,
Mo
Buckets. What a great nickname. Mo Buckets? Are you kidding?
No,
like the best nickname ever.
Like, no one's confusing him for some really good player or anything, but he was by incredibly, like, popular among fans.